Our reading's taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Well, this morning I'm hoping to transform this blank canvas into a picture. You can never quite tell what's going to happen, even if you've practiced it. But so I'm hoping I'm going to transform the picture. And our theme that runs through what we're doing this morning is transformation. I wonder what the last thing was that you transformed. Did you transform a room from being untidy to tidy? I think I have to shake my head at that. I might manage that aside. Did you transform a relationship that wasn't perhaps going very well? Even more important. When people try and transform something, it doesn't always seem to be for the better. They try, but it doesn't work. I think a lot of us are still in a bit of two minds about whether the new cycle lane in Enfield is going to be for our benefit or not. But it's obviously intended for our benefit. But when God transforms something, it's always for the better. At the beginning of time, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. When God separated the waters and created the sky, he saw that it was good. He also gathered the water together to create seas. What a beautiful world God created. We only have to look around as we even walk up to church to see the wonders of his creation. So as I paint some sky and some sea, I'm going to listen to a song which Tom's kindly playing. It's lovely to have Tom to put these on for me. I usually have to do all this myself when I'm elsewhere. So he's going to put on a song, and it's sung by Stuart Townend, "You Are the Word of God the Father." This tells us about creation. Now, I'd like you just to think for a moment about how God continually transforms nature from winter to spring to summer to autumn. I was lucky earlier in the year to be able to walk along part of the South Downs Way with my cousin and his wife. And the wheat fields that we saw were ripe, ready for harvest. And I noticed a few days ago when I was coming back from Cruise Hill, much to my surprise, there were these wheat fields with these lovely, round, things of hay, of wheat already done, already harvested. And when the farmer sees that moment when the corn is ripe, he's out there getting it in before the rain comes to spoil it. He's got a real sense of urgency about gathering it in. And God wants to bring in a harvest of souls across this land, the whole of Britain, the whole of the world. And I wonder whether his church, and that includes us, have got that sense of urgency to see the transformation that God wants to bring about. Because only as the church responds to that call will we see the transformation in society that we long for. So while I paint some fields with a few bits of cornfields amongst them, I'm going to play you a song which reminds us of the message that we got to share. It's a very well-known hymn, In Christ Alone, and it just reminds us that this is what God wants everybody to know. As we walked along the South Downs, we went through, first of all, before we got there, a field of sheep, and then we climbed up a very steep hill. My cousin and his wife go skiing for 6 months of the year, so I was... Anyway, it was nice. We got to the top, I had to have a lie down. But we climbed up this hill, and it was real fun. But life isn't always fun, is it? Life sometimes produces burdens that we have to carry, either for ourselves or for other people. But Jesus just invites us to take those burdens this morning and leave them at the foot of the cross, because he cares for us. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. Which reminded me of the old chorus. I don't know whether you know, I expect you do. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He will keep you till the end. Fix your eyes upon him. When we do that, he transforms the situation that we're in. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Of course, the shepherd used to lie across the entrance to the sheepfold to stop the wild animals getting in. He was the gate. Today, we just have an ordinary gate keeping the sheep in their fields. Jesus put his life on the line, just as the shepherd does, by dying on that cross to enable us to receive forgiveness and eternal life. John 5:24 says, very truly I tell you that anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you trust Jesus, you no longer need to fear death or punishment. I sometimes think we forget the second bit. We still feel a bit guilty, and we still think perhaps we're not good enough. But Jesus says he has paid that price. And if you haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, then today would be a good time to do it, because there's no day that's too early to call on Jesus. I remember very clearly the day I trusted Jesus for the first time. And it's I remember that sense of peace that came into my life. And it was over now, 50 years ago, and I've never regretted deciding to trust Jesus. So I'm going to put a few more trees in, but also paint a picture of a gate to remind us that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And we're going to hear Stuart Townend sing The Lord is My Shepherd. Take this as an opportunity just to recommit yourselves to that Good Shepherd and to put your lives into his hands. God wants us to transform the lives of other people. In fact, in John 15, verse 12, Jesus issued not a request, but a command: love one another. We don't necessarily have to do big things, but we must seek to obey Jesus' command to love other people, to put ourselves second. And I'm not just talking about loving our friends, loving our families, because Jesus said, even the Gentiles do that. But let's make a real difference to the lives of the poor, the homeless, the lonely, the sick, and the bereaved. The passage we read in Romans 12 sets out clearly. It says, love must be sincere. We must share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute us. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony. Be willing to associate with people of low position. And one of the things I think helps us to love other people is to really take on board how much Jesus loves us. Because we all need to feel loved. We all need to know that we're loved. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You're giving out to people and you feel a bit exhausted. But it's good to remember then that Jesus loves us. And he told us that God loves the birds and the flowers, but he loves us more because he wants to have a relationship with us. So while I put a few flowers in our picture, we're going to hear a song called Loved Before the Dawn of Time. I love the title of this song, Loved Before the Dawn of Time. I was very pleased to have my cousin and his wife with me when I went on this walk, because it was a sort of thing I wouldn't do on my own. And there's lots of things we won't do, really, if we can't remember that Jesus is there helping us. And I was recently reminded from a daily devotional from Holy Trinity Brompton of the amazing life of Jackie Pullinger, which I'm sure the older ones of you here will know. But she was only 21 when she and a student at a music college, when she heard God calling her to go and share the gospel. And she couldn't get any missionary college, to accept her or take her seriously. So in the end, she just decided that what God wanted her to do was to find a ticket for a boat which was going to the most ports in the world, the cheapest ticket she could get, and then when she was on the boat, to pray that God would tell her where to get off. Well, she was called to get off the boat when she was in Hong Kong in 1966, and it was a small, densely populated, lawless area called the Walled City. It was an area which neither China nor Hong Kong owned, and so all the drug addicts, all the prostitutes and the gangs, they all found this as a safe haven. And this is what she wrote. I'll read you what she wrote. I loved this dark place. I hated what was happening in it, but I wanted to be nowhere else. It was almost as if I could already see another city in its place, and that city was ablaze with light. It was my dream. There was no more crying, no more death or pain. The sick were healed, addicts set free, the hungry filled. There were families for orphans, homes for the homeless, and new dignity for those who had lived in shame. I had no idea how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, imagined introducing the Walled City people to the one who could change it all. Jesus. Well, I hadn't thought about Jackie Pullinger for years, but I looked her up on YouTube, on the internet, and on YouTube, there's the most lovely interview with her. I'm not sure it was recorded this year or last year. She's been working there now for 50 years, and she was over here to help advise on how to deal with drug addicts in other countries. So if you want to have a look at that interview, all you have to type into your computer on YouTube is Jackie Pullinger interview, and you'll find this interview, and it's absolutely fascinating. Jackie Pullinger interview. I just sort of seemed like somebody from the past, and I didn't realize, had sort of forgotten she was still working there. So she got there in 66. So she must be, and she was already at college then, she must be about in her late 60s or early 70s. So we don't necessarily have to do something as dramatic as her. But we do need to catch his vision of what Jesus wants to do. And we don't even, if we look at our society today, there is just so much that we want to change. And we need to be willing to let him use us to transform the lives of other people, to transform their happiness by the way we treat them. So while I paint two people on this wall, we're going to listen to another song, Build Your Kingdom Here, by the Rend Collection.